When was the last time you showed someone generosity? Maybe it was something small, someone covering your coffee when you forgot your wallet. Maybe it was something bigger, like a friend offering their couch when you had nowhere else to go. Or maybe you can't even pinpoint it, because generosity is woven so seamlessly into the way we live that we don't always recognize it when it happens. Generosity is essential. It's the social glue that holds communities together, the silent force that keeps people afloat when systems fail. Without generosity, without people looking out for each other, life, for many, would be unbearable. But here's something we don't talk about enough. The people who give the most aren't always the ones with the most to give. In fact, it's often the ones who are struggling themselves who open their doors, share what they have, and make sure others are okay. Think about it. How many times have you seen someone with very little give freely, without hesitation? A neighbor watching your kids because you couldn't afford childcare. A friend lending you money they couldn't really spare. A meal handed to someone in need before worrying about tomorrow's groceries. And yet, when we think about philanthropy, the word alone conjures up images of billionaires with oversized checks, of gala dinners, and of names etched into marble plaques. We talk about giving back as if generosity is an exclusive club for those who have already taken enough to have something left to return. But what if I told you that most of the giving that happens in the world doesn't come from the rich? That for many, giving isn't a transaction. It's just the way of life. In this episode, we are exploring a powerful idea. Poor people don't just give back. They give, and they do it more than most of us realize. We'll be talking to Carol, a very good friend of mine, an advocate who's challenging the way we think about generosity, philanthropy, and who's really keeping communities afloat. Carol is a dedicated social justice advocate and the founder of Msingi Trust, an organization committed to mobilizing, inspiring, equipping, and networking community and faith leaders towards social justice initiatives. With an unconventional and insightful approach, Carol has been instrumental in fostering inclusive development and challenging traditional narratives around philanthropy and community support. She's also a podcaster, using her platform to amplify marginalized voices and discuss critical social issues. In her thought-provoking article, "Poor People Don't Give Back, They Just Give," Carol explores the inherent generosity within economically disadvantaged communities. She challenges the conventional notion of philanthropy, questioning whether generosity in poorer economies is a coping mechanism for failing social welfare systems. Hello, and welcome to Things We Learn on a Monday Morning. And today, I have a very special guest. This is a long-term friend of mine, which we've been through the trenches, my goodness, back in 2008, 2009.
Many thousands ago.
Yes, we actually studied together. And yes, and she's done some amazing work in the NGO space, but also she's a lover of Jesus and she wants to see the world change. And yeah, in just there's a lot I want to share about this, but today, the main focus, because we have very limited time, quite busy schedules, I want to talk about the power of generosity and how generosity works itself out real time in the world. And this is one of the guests for this particular series. And Carol wrote an amazing article, amazing blog post, which caught my eye and struck me to the heart, because often our idea of generosity and giving is often relegated to those that have a lot of money, that's putting aside money to give to poor people. But if you really dig deep, if you really go into the nuts and bolts and the figures of things, that actually poor people in inverted commas, give more and give back so much more, and be so unrecognized or overlooked. And mm-hmm. So Carol wrote this amazing blog piece called "Poor People Don't Give Back, They Just Give." And so Carol, welcome to. But Carol, yes, we come a long way, and I won't bore the people with our details. But Carol,
yes, you do. I actually want to bother people because I have a photo of you putting your finger inside my mouth. I don't know if people know that. At the back of the classroom. So, yes.
It shows your love for me together. Yes. And by the way, we went to a Christian college.
Yes.
We were studying theology. Yes. How? Sure. Yes. Now you're eating out the laundry. Yes. Carol, you can't do that. That's not fair. But Carol, so setting the stage. So this article. That's fine. It's fine. I forgive you. So this article, what inspired you to write this? What do you mean by the poor don't give back, they just give? What inspired this article?
Because I really hate the term give back to society. And then because it automatically refers that you had taken something from the society. And most of the times when corporates are doing the give back and all of that, it's normally like 0.1% of their profits, it seems a lot, but what they get from the community is much more. And so I was exploring what giving without the back looks like. And so that's why and then also looking at my story, looking at most of our African way of living, is that people just give. They don't expect to do that CSR nonsense. Yeah.
I'm glad you said CSR nonsense, because it often is just an exercise, a political exercise with a, so and that's the view I have. CSRs are good, so keep doing it, because we obviously finances are good, but it's often used just to put a kind of a plaster over your guilt, feelings of guilt. But let's just take a step back. So, you know, if I have to ask you, what would be your definition of generosity? If you had to give a Carol version of a generosity a definition, what would you say that would be?
I think my view of generosity is, so let me respond to that with like an example. It's what my grandmother used to do when you go to her home. You will never go back. You will not leave her house without something to take home with. It's what when you go to someone's house, they give you a cup of tea, whether they have. So they share with you what you have. So for me, generosity is not really giving out of your excess. It's giving from what you have. And it's about sharing the little or the much, and not also remembering what Jesus said about being cheerful givers. It's giving about from not counting the pennies, but giving and looking at what the widow with the mite did, you know. So that for me is what generosity is about. Yeah.
And I think just for the listeners and the viewers, to paint a picture of kind of your background in this space, because I mean, you are in the NGO space. You have an NGO called Msingi Trust. Is that correct? Yeah. And so I think give us a bit of paint a bit of a picture of what is it like being in the space, and I'm not saying drawing funds from a rock from people, but like, what is your engagement?
Yes.
Have there been some challenges in the space?
No, I've actually, personally, as Carol, I've survived from the generosity of my friends. Msingi does not have, like right now, we just have one funder and they're not giving so much money. But it's my friends who have sustained me for the 7 years. The people who give you $10, $5, 1,000 shillings, 50 shillings, who tell you all of that. So for me, I'm a product of generosity. And it's the generosity of my circle most definitely. It's people who went to school together, people who believe in the vision, people who are committed to fighting injustice. So I really am a product of generosity. They would be spending that money doing something else, but here they are. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. So Msingi Trust, since we are there, unpack a little bit, what is Msingi Trust? What area do you focus on? If you can share a little bit about, for the listeners, for those that don't know about Msingi.
So Msingi Trust, our vision is a Kenyan church pursuing justice for all. Our vision is bridging the justice gap in faith spaces, Kenya, Africa, globally. We work at the intersection of faith, justice, activism, and advocacy. So by creating content, enhancing conversations, and making connections between these two worlds, I straddle between the worlds of faith and activism. And so I'm like, these two can become together, can become one. So, and I really would appreciate what the two worlds have to offer and want them to be together. So we have a podcast, Msingi Talks podcast. People can also follow our page, Msingi on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook, and listen to our podcast for all those, yeah.
I must say, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. I obviously, besides in researching this, when I first recognized you on the map, I'm like, wait, let's look at this. So I watch your podcast on YouTube, by the way. So it's, I like the visual aspect.
Thank you.
In the chair with the Pro mic. So if you are listening to this, by all means, please subscribe to Msingi. Like, it's an amazing podcast. It's fascinating conversations. You will walk away. I guarantee you will walk away with either feeling inspired to do something or find an avenue to do something to make a change in the world. And like you said, it's where faith and activism cross, which I think is important, particularly in this day and age, and following the scriptures as it should be, the words of Jesus. And if we really follow the words of Jesus, the world will look a lot different to what it looks now. But that's an entirely different conversation. And so giving, we just get back to giving. So do you think giving is a cultural thing? Do you potentially find giving looking different across different cultures, or is it just a community, a way of doing things?
I think giving is a human thing. I have found that all communities, all societies have a way of giving. Most of us survive through the giving of each other. So people give time. And also, giving is not always monetary. People give time, their bodies in terms of labor. People give, there's various ways of giving. So, but it's expressed differently across the different communities and cultures. So I think giving is human. It's a thing we naturally do and are inclined to it. Capitalism and colonialism and whiteness have all changed the way we do it. But I think we all give. It's expressed differently across different cultures as well.
Yeah. And in your experience, what has giving looked like? Have you personally experienced a, not disparity, a differentiating or different expression of giving from different people groups?
I think for me, the main thing is what is considered as giving. Most people highlight the money. And so for me, that becomes the biggest discrepancy, because the people who give of their, let's say there's a funeral in the community, the person who gives 1,000 rands will be deemed to be, you know, generous. But the woman who stays from Monday to Friday cooking tea for guests is not seen as someone who gave. We generally don't see her contribution. So for me, that is the main discrepancy that I would share, or like the one expression of the giving conversation that I want us to pay more attention to, not just the money, but also the time, the thoughts, the thinking around the processes that are there. So, and the people who do not have the finances, sometimes we feel like for us to give it has to be money, and that's not true. Many people need your wisdom. Many people need your time. And that's as valid.
Sure. And so I totally agree with you, because I'm on this journey of generosity. I'm on this journey of, this is my friendship group and people group and church group as well. So just, and obviously on socials, it's not just a series that I'm, this particular podcast series, or I'm highlighting podcasts about generosity, but I'm beginning to study the effects of generosity on businesses. In fact, I recorded an episode yesterday, which will probably come out after this one, on businesses, how generosity affected the business. And yes, in some cases, it actually was a business growth exercise. So being more sustainable. So some companies may be more, you know, change their production process to be more sustainable to the environment. So then, and then taking that 1% profit and plowing it back into sustainability efforts. So that's how they define giving, which is understandably, and it's true. But I'm more inclined to look at how giving is actually transformative, and when we adopt transgiving, when we adopt generosity within ourselves, that every aspect of our lives changes. That we view money as a resource, not as something to hold on to acquire, but something as an ability to be more generous for others. And in so doing,
yeah,
our business grows, our family grows, everything grows, because we view life as a generous gift rather than something to acquire. And I think particularly in this day and age, where life is intense and it's becoming more expensive to exist.
Yeah.
But not lose our generosity, because it's so easy to slip back. And
no, I'd like to like offer some insight around the businesses and the giving around that.
Absolutely.
I think it's especially for businesses and corporations, and even I think that at the first instance, that the search for obscene profits from a community, and then after you've extracted everything from them, you give back like 0.1%. I think that view of doing business is wrong, and that practice of doing business is wrong. I wish that our businesses were a bit more humane in the way that they are run, so that you're not extracting as much from the people or causing harm to the people by your practices, by your products and all of that. Because I consider that as giving as well, that you're not extracting from them, so that then you come back and say, you see, I've given you 1%. So that is also a thing I'd like us to consider, that even before, can we hope create livable environments within our businesses, within our pursuit of profits, within our pursuit of positions in community as well, so that it's not you extract and then you come back. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, that leads to exploitation, because and then it's a band-aid. It's perceived as a band-aid. For people, we're doing our TikTok exercise, and I mean, it's probably I'm sounding more socialist and more communist than anything else, as people would say. But I think it's important to, I believe that businesses, yes, the primary goal is to make a profit. That's understand, otherwise not a business. But what I believe secondary, or at least on equal basis to that goal, is to be generous and built into the business. That it's not, yes. I agree with you, not to exploit the people and then come back and give them almost like a 1% payment. That's your, you know, we've basically taken more from you, but giving back 1% to you, which I think is just not right. And now we're tight with time. So I want to go to the next couple of questions, I guess. What is the role of nonprofits in this space, and how should they rethink their fundraising strategies? Because obviously it's built on the backs, in essence, of people giving. And yeah, what sort of innovative thoughts that you can come up with now, or you have already thought about in this space?
As I shared in the article, I think our cornerstone mantra of Live the Question is I hold on to it so tightly. I ask questions more than I answer. So it's always difficult. Like being on this other side is interesting. But I think one of the ways is to honor the time of the people who come and volunteer with you. Recognize them the same way you have the outreach for, you know, they have the CRM tools, all those tools for retaining volunteer, for retaining the donors. You can also have one for retaining volunteers. How do you recognize their effort? Do you say thank you? Do you check in with them? Do you visit them? Do you know their names? Do you know their people? A lot of the work in the nonprofit world as leaders is to maintain human relations with the people who are serving us and who we are serving with. And so I consider one of the ways to appreciate the non-monetary people is just know them and affirm them and thank them and point out what their contribution is making to the company and to the organization. And yeah, respect them when they come. And even in churches, because I think also those are the places where volunteers, the ushers, are not seen, those, because we expect so much from them. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay, looking forward. What's one thing listeners can do today to support a more inclusive, community-centered view of philanthropy, or this kind of giving, this lifestyle of generosity? What can people do today to foster that?
I think the one is to be aware of how the first thing is, it's important to give money, yes, but it's not the only way. So give, sometimes what someone else needs is a shoulder to lean on, a hello, a moment. So consider the non-monetary ways of giving. That, I would say, is the first one. The second would be to give money. I know it's countercultural, but I think sometimes, from what I'm saying, is that some of this, and to these young fledgling organizations, there are people who founder-led and short staff that don't have a lot of admin. That's one. And then in the philanthropy sector, actually, it's notorious for not giving towards admin fees. So people give towards the project but don't want the people who are doing the project to be paid. So consider these non-extractive ways of giving that see the people who are doing the work and honors their time. And then give cheerfully and generously. And the one of the core and key memories I have when I started in Cindy was God telling me to be generous. And I thought, I'm being generous with what money exactly? Because I don't have it. But most of the times, we are so, so caught up in the things we don't have that we forget what we have. And so a consistent, open heart that is generous helps us to appreciate what we have. And so, yeah, be open to being a vessel of generosity rather than just only a recipient. Yeah.
Excellent. Carol, thank you so much for your time. And I wish we could have unpacked it a little bit more, but I know we're tight scheduled, and I'll definitely further this conversation with you because I feel like we can go a little bit deeper. But thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm. And have a fantastic day. And we'll have more stories from Cornerstone and our learnings.
Right.
So here's some of my takeaways from my conversation with Carol. One, the conversation was way too short. And we only scratched the surface. We really, really only scratched the surface of generosity and the poor. How the poor actually is a deeply generous grouping of people. That they poorly don't just give charitably, they give. And as the article says, the poor just don't give back. They give. They just give. And it's important to note, and we, on a few things that we did touch on, is that in many cases, the CSIs, this community service initiatives, and those sort of elements that businesses do allocate finances to and resources to, often is just a tick box exercise. But what Carol's trying to push and pursue, particularly with the Singi Trust, is to be more generous, to find ways to be more generous, to find ways to be more intentional about giving and linking your finances and your resources to being very intentional about giving and being generous. And then also as a business, not looking to exploit the people that you're doing business with and then returning the favor with a 1% CSI initiative, but rather be intentional about your business practices and not extracting too much from the people, but actually investing in it. And I think it's been more conscious about your giving, conscious about your generosity within your business practices. That way, your business actually isn't ethical. It actually is thinking about the other person. So, and what is also funny or interesting to me is that Carol steered clear from making generosity and giving a cultural thing. It's a human thing. It's all part of humanity. And it's for all of us. It's not for some. It's not for those that have little, that will give out of that little, or for those who have much. It is for everyone. It is literally for everyone. And lastly, I know, like I said, I know Carol for many, many years. Many, going back to 2006. So it's been many years of knowing her. And those are fun days in college. But be intentional about your giving. Be intentional about making a shift. Be intentional about your generosity. And let's not look down on the poor, those that have the under-resourced. But rather, find ways to be generous towards them. And find out ways out, even more generous they are to us. More generous to those who are able to give more, where we have more. So this is Things We Learn on a Monday Morning. I hope you've learned. Hope you've loved this episode. And this is just part one of the episode. We honestly just scratched the surface. If time allowed, we'd do a bit more. But I feel like there will be a part two to this conversation. And we can dive deeper into the role of the church, bigger role of businesses and entities. Just unpacking generosity in a more meaningful and deeper way. But hope you enjoyed this episode. And yeah. Like and subscribe, and we'll see you soon.